Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 18th, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the way day by day. We thank you that we have the privilege of being told in advance of all of the events that are taking place around us. We ask for your continued guidance in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on our last session, we began to read an article entitled, Mini Trumps Are Coming Up All Over Europe. And we were talking about the fact that there are a number of leaders winning elections who are just like the populist autocratic attitude that is being demonstrated by our president, the President of the United States. The article was taken from Handelsblatt Global. Let me spell the name of the website for you. It's Handelsblatt Global, G-L-O-B-A-L. Now, the article was published on December 29th, 2017, and the two writers of the article was Jens Muschrath, that's M-U-N-C-H-R-A-T-H, and Anke Rezmer, R-E-Z-M-E-R. The title again, Mini Trumps Are Coming Up All Over Europe. And the subtext says, populists and autocrats were victorious around the world in 2017. For answers, we turned to the American political economist Francis Fukuyama, who once thought it was all over. Now, as I said before, we had begun the article yesterday, but I thought it would be wise if we could begin again and see how far we can get with it. Here's the article. It's all too easy to throw around terms like historic and radical break. Such rhetoric often only serves a camouflage, to camouflage a lack of real analysis. But for once, the year 2017 genuinely felt like a historic moment, as the world began to change faster than it has in several decades. When Donald Trump bellowed America first in his inauguration speech, it all started to seem real. Previously, many observers had convinced themselves that Mr. Trump would be transformed by the office. Now it becomes clear that the president wasn't joking. He fully intends to upend the liberal world order established by the United States after the end of World War II in 1945. Authoritarianism seems to be on the rise across the globe, with strong men consolidating their hold, led in Europe by Vladimir Putin in Moscow, Erdogan in Ankara, Turkey, and a wave of anti-democratic changes in Eastern Europe. The year 2017 seemed a mark, the rise and close societies instead of open ones, of rule over the people rather than the rule of the people. Who better to analyze this than Francis Fukuyama, the American historian whose book, The End of History, coined that phrase? Though this became a post-Cold War cliche, his idea survived. That liberal democracy was the only game in town, its challengers consigned to the trash can of history. Now, suddenly, that idea seems both outmoded and hubristic. That's something Mr. Fukuyama himself recognizes. We are witnessing a period in which democracy is being threatened in a way I have not experienced in my lifetime, he said. Similarly, his book was often quoted as an explanation for the triumph of neoliberal capitalism until after the 2008 financial crisis. Ever since, Mr. Fukuyama, now a professor of political science at Stanford University in the U.S., has been wrongly criticized for his preemptive declaration. His view now is that the system of globalization, as it was created, really was designed by the companies and the banks to suit their own interests. If I had a criticism of Germany, it is that Angela Merkel has not been very tough on people like Viktor Orban. In another sign of how far his beliefs have shifted, Mr. Fukuyama thinks there's a good chance Mr. Trump will be reelected. He also sees Trumpism spreading. There are a lot of mini Trumps coming up all over Europe, he says. Mr. Fukuyama warns that Europe is weak and divided, distracted by Brexit, the festering euro crisis, and the new autocrats of Eastern Europe. That includes Germany, in political paralysis and stymied by the rise of its own populist right. Those who once complained about Berlin's hegemony may soon discover worse, a weak Germany. For all the praise heaped on Chancellor Merkel abroad, Mr. Fukuyama sees this as a serious problem. If I had a criticism of Germany, it is that Angela Merkel has not been very tough on people like Viktor Orban, he said. We need strong leadership in defense of these liberal values. Moving from the political upheaval of 2017 into the uncertainties that 2018 may bring, Handelsblatt asked Mr. Fukuyama what the European Union could do about the trials and tribulations of globalization. He shared his analysis of Donald Trump's rise, China's future threat, why Brexit is actually a blessing, and how to deal with the EU's growing number of autocratically inclined leaders. Advice from Mr. Fukuyama follows. Handelsblatt, this is a question that Handelsblatt asks. Do you believe that we are looking at the end of the era of globalization? Francis Fukuyama answers, it depends. Because Britain and the United States have a different attitude towards it, in general, than Germany or Scandinavia. Their approach was always more enthusiastic, so they are facing the biggest pushbacks against globalization, whereas continental Europe was never quite as enthusiastic. Therefore, you didn't suffer the same degree of disruption. For example, in Germany, you have these active labor market policies to help restrain workers, and you've got a much better relationship between unions and employers. I think the system of globalization, as it was created, really was designed by the companies and the banks to suit their own interests. We accepted too much of this pure economic agenda, where all they wanted to do was maximize their GDP, gross domestic product. In the future, you're going to have other stakeholders involved, ones who are worried about the environment or their labor rights. Next question by Handelsblatt. So it's not the end of globalization, but we can say that things are changing? The answer of Fukuyama. I think on an intellectual level, there's a big change in the way that economists speak about globalization that is laying the groundwork for a different approach. Contrast what people like economists and analysts Larry Sumner's, Joe Stiglitz, and Paul Krugman were saying about globalization 15 years ago with what they're saying now. We should pay attention to someone like Donnie Roderick of Harvard, who is writing about how to make globalization fairer. This kind of thing will eventually be incorporated into policy, public policy. Question. How could globalization be fairer? Answer. There are a couple of ways this could happen. One is chaotic, where a populist party comes in and starts dismantling stuff in very damaging ways. A better way would be that the existing architects of globalization get scared of that and begin to police themselves better. There's still too much gaming of the system. It's too easy for very rich individuals and companies to avoid taxes, to launder money. Again, Europe is doing a better job of this in certain ways, but every European country is also a sinner. Now, let me pause here in this article to make it clear. And notice what is happening here as these men talk about this. The person who is doing the questioning, of course, is the owner of the website, Handelsblatt. And he's talking to Fukuyama, but notice that as Fukuyama continues to discover or to describe some of the changes that are taking place, he's really describing the attitude and the plans that are being employed by President Donald Trump today, the dismantling of NATO, the pulling out of the UN, his entire deconstruction of all of the old systems, the globalized systems. And of course, this takes you back to Steve Bannon's favorite phrase, the deconstruction of the administrative state. But notice that this is not just a Trumpism or a Steve Bannonism, but based on the article, and let me give you the title again, many Trumps are coming up all over Europe. There is a definite shift being described by Fukuyama here. Now, continuing the article, and of course, the article is discussing the shift from this whole matter, globalization, to populism. Continuing, there are three causes for the rise of populism. Globalization, as we are quite aware, has been very beneficial to all the countries that participate in it, but it has not been beneficial to every individual in every country. So there are a lot of working class and middle class people who have been losing jobs in China, India, Bangladesh, Vietnam, and so forth, and that's fairly well understood. The second driver is political. A lot of democracies have been having a hard time making decisions, although that is not true of Germany, which has maintained a fairly strong consensus over the last couple of decades. This weakness in decision-making gives rise to the demand for a strong leader to tackle those obstacles to decisive governments. The third driver is cultural, which I think is most important. There's a feeling that people are losing control over their cultural destiny. Identity issues are really critical to this. A lot of economic unhappiness actually gets translated into identity issues, because if you lose your job, you also lose your status and your dignity. Now, let me pause again to let you know that this article was written pretty much the end of December 29, 2017. And you begin, as I said before, to see that what is happening in the United States of America is not just unique here, but has been is something that is happening all over Europe, according to what the article is saying here. Another question. And you believe that immigration plays a major part in the latter? This is now talking about the cultural issues. Answer. I'm very positive that what Angela Merkel did in terms of opening borders to refugees in 2015 was a very admirable thing, but it was also a little bit unrealistic. The system of free movement across borders is not sustainable unless you have some controls over the external borders of the European Union. So notice, let me pause again, notice that some of the arguments taking place in the United States of America with regard to the southern border coming in from Mexico, some of those same arguments are happening in Germany. And Angela Merkel, who has taken the opposite position of what the president of the United States has taken, has found herself under a lot of controversy with regard to allowing a number of refugees across the German border. The next question in the article is, so how can we challenge the allure of the populists and authoritarians in Europe? Answer. The people who believe in a liberal order have to be much more forthright in defending it. They need to say, yes, this is a good thing. We want a society that is tolerant. We want economic integration, and we think it will be good for everybody. That also includes being willing to criticize countries that are willing to violate those norms. If I had a criticism of Germany, It is that Angela Merkel has not been very tough on people like Viktor Orban or the Law and Justice Party in Poland. There are states in the EU that are really violating some of the basic political norms that are the basis of membership in that community. We need strong leadership in defense of these liberal values. Now, you notice, let me pause again to say, you notice that the president's attitude is therefore being interpreted as a globalist attitude dealing with some of the issues that Europe at this very moment is dealing with, and as mentioned in the article, dealing with some of the issues that China is dealing with. Now, of course, we are in economic competition with China, but the truth of the matter is that one of the reasons why the United States of America has been interacting with China economically is because on many of the corporations that existed in the United States of America that are American corporations have moved their factories to China. And one of the reasons why they've done that is because labor is much cheaper in China. And therefore, a lot of the products that we take from China are not necessarily Chinese corporate products, but rather American cabinet products made in China. Now, of course, in China, there have been a number of jobs lost because of the strain on the economy. And because of that, as the article said a little higher up, because of that, when people begin to lose their jobs, they feel that their culture is threatened. The same thing has happened in the United States. When certain individuals see that their population has become no longer the dominant population, they are no longer the majority, but the Latinos and the African Americans and the Asians who come in together now make the majority of individuals in the country. Those who find themselves in that position feel their culture is threatened. And because of that, they begin to move in a particular direction and begin to push in a particular direction. And the President of the United States has begun to embrace that kind of feeling. And a lot of his support comes from those individuals. Now, you and I need to understand what is happening here. And one of the reasons why it is so important that I share this article with you is that what is happening in the United States of America is also happening in Germany. It is happening in certain parts of the world, in other parts of the world, and it's happening in Europe. You and I need to grasp the shift that is taking place on a global range here, understanding that ultimately there will be pressures on all sides. And, you know, it's a cultural pressure, it's an economic pressure, but there's also a religious pressure. Let's take a look at a couple more questions in this article. The next question is, yet in the U.S., Ms. Merkel has been named the new leader of the free world by some media outlets. Answer, I'm not criticizing her overall performance. I think she has done an admirable job. But in these specific cases, and it is not just her, it is the rest of the EU as well. She has not been terribly hard on the likes of Viktor Orban or, another example, Prime Minister Vučić of Serbia. There are a lot of mini-Trumps coming up all over Europe, and I think because of the EU's internal problems, a lot of European leaders have been distracted. It's a very worrying trend that seems to be going in the direction of the kind of political leader who makes all these populist appeals and lies very easily. That means lies, not telling the truth. It starts with Putin and former Italian leader Silvio Berlusconi. The EU needs to be tough on them. Yes, those defenders of liberalism are in a weaker position, but the response should not be to give up. I am not sure weakness is inevitable. After all, French President Emmanuel Macron surprised everyone by winning, and Europe is actually growing. There's a positive economic story here. So what we see in this article, and what I wanted to share with you today, is the fact that what is happening in the United States of America is happening in Europe, and there are struggles all over. When the United States of America ultimately begins to speak as a dragon, as is foretold in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, speaking as a dragon will have its listeners in Europe, all over the world. There will be those who will ultimately be willing to go along with the new direction in which the United States of America is heading. There are those who are looking at the United States today and thinking that after this presidential period is passed, that the United States of America will return to what it used to be prior to the election of 2016. We should be guarded where that opinion is concerned, because there are many other things that are changing other than just the election of a president. There is the complete shift in the Supreme Court. There is a complete redirection of the appellate court system in the United States. There are many challengers in the European Union who are, as the article describes, mini Trumps. There are many shifts in the economic systems. And incidentally, there is a coming together of the evangelicals of the United States of America with the Russian Orthodox Church in Russia, coming together also with the papacy, so that when, by the time a few years have passed, there will be a complete global shift, a direct reorganization of events, for which you and I must be ready. God has warned us in advance of all of these events. Today, let us make that commitment to our Lord and Savior, that we might be willing to stand and walk with Him. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for all that You continue to do. We recognize that there is a definite change coming in this world. We ask that You would prepare us for the time to come so that we might be ready to meet Your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 18th, 2018.